I'm not going to take a lot of time. I know it's getting late already, but this was so important for us to hear this morning. And I know you've been blessed already if we left right now, which don't anybody walk out, but you could say you've been blessed and inspired and encouraged by being at church. I mean, let's give all the youth a great hand. Amen. So on Thursday night, as you heard, I was there, and besides my nose bleeding, I did experience some wonderful things along with the youth, and one of them, Pastor Aaron, all the youth with their youth group, and he had all the youth leaders come up, and he said, Now, what youth belongs to this leader? And pointed to the youth leader and said, well, y'all go over there. And so all over the sanctuary, all over the gym, it was a gymnasium, but all over the gym that we were using as a sanctuary, there were these circles with the youth pastor and the youth around them. And so all over, everybody divided up like that. And so he said, I want you to pray for your youth pastor, your youth leader. So they all began to pray for Aaron. And then he said, okay, now I want you youth leaders to begin to pray for your youth. And so then after that, he said, now I want all the senior pastors that are here, I want you to go down and join. We were all, of course, we were in the back. We were letting the youth do their thing, you know, just not wanting to interrupt or get involved at that point. He said, now I want you pastors to go and get right in the middle of the youth group. And youth, you pray for your pastors and you minister to them. And so while the youth were praying for me, the Lord spoke to my heart, and He impressed on my heart the important role that our youth have in this church, and very specifically in our church going to the next level. And I believe God wants us to go to a higher level. Amen. In fact, I believe we've been kind of stagnant at a level we're at, and that we need to go to a higher level. And I know that, and God spoke to my heart that the youth were a key ingredient, and that their input and what they would do and how God would use them would be a key ingredient in us moving to that next level that He wanted us to move into. And so for us to, as a church, to accomplish the plan of God, it's essential, it's necessary that our youth step up. And they're not the church of tomorrow, they're the church of right now. Amen. And they have a key role to play. Now, you know, I'm not saying if you're over 21 that you're washed up and we have no need for you here. Certainly, that's not true. That's not the case. We need all hands on deck. Amen? Amen. Praise God. But the youth need to see, and I want them to see. That's what God showed me, so I could tell them, hey, and so we could open up for that you have, you know, you're important right now. And you're not only important, you're a key ingredient. And this church will not accomplish the plan of God that God wants us to accomplish without your participation, without your involvement, without what you bring into this church. And it's not just the youth that went to camp. It's all the youth. I know some of you were not able to go for different reasons. Jacob had sports practices that he was doing and was not able to go for that. But he's right. If you didn't get to go for whatever reason, you're still part of this. Don't feel excluded. In fact, I told our... you know, the youth that went to camp, I said the ones that weren't able to go, you know, don't you know, make them feel like they missed out or they're excluded. Loren was not able to go, I know. And so you guys are a major, major part of it, all of you. I'm talking about the whole youth group, not just the ones that went to camp. And so I want you to hear that and know that. And so anyway, the message that the scripture I want to share with you today, I want us to look at... what this means, what does it mean, and how do we walk this out? How do we integrate our youth, and how do we walk that out? How do we live that out according to what the Scripture says? So the Scripture is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, and we'll read through it, and then we'll make just a few comments here. He says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So here's a message that Paul has written, a letter that he's written to Timothy, who is a young man. He's a pastor. He's already a pastor, but he's a young man. And he tells him, he says, let no one despise your youth, Timothy. Let no one despise your youth. And you know, this passage here was very near and dear to my heart when I began pastoring, because I started pastoring when I was only 26 years of age. As I said, I've been doing this, you know, 24 years now. So I was only 26 when I began pastoring. I got filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 17. That was at the end of my senior year in high school, Kevin, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And some of you guys got filled with the Holy Spirit this week. Some of you guys, you got an assurance of your salvation. I know I'm going to heaven. That blessed me, Cole. That blessed me. And that was huge for Selena. You know, it's difficult when you feel a need. I need to make sure that I'm right with God. I need to make sure that I'm saved. Oh, well, everybody thinks I already am saved. That's the huge pressure to break through that and to say, hey, I need God. Amen. And so some of you guys, you got filled with the Holy Spirit this week. Some of you have in the past. For me, I was 17. By the way, the title of the message is Wise Words to Young Radicals for Jesus. Okay, that's the title. I started to call it Advice from Someone Who Was Once Young Himself. So either way, it'll work, all right? So, but I remember, you know, and I can still remember, you know, those days. I'm not so old that I can't remember that when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then that was in May of 1979 when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. In September of 1980, just about 16 months later, or 15, God revealed to me that I would pastor a church in this city. I was 19 years old at the time. And I knew that I was called to pastor a church and that I would pastor a church in this city. Now, some of you, God spoke to you. You know, we heard Kevin, and that was what you were supposed to share. When you were up the first time, I thought, Kevin, there's more you need to say. And so thank God you obeyed the Holy Spirit and said that. You were supposed to say that. You were supposed to declare that today. And I know there were others that God spoke to them. I've heard some of them that God spoke to them about their future and about the calling that He has on their life and dreams and visions that He has for you. Praise God. And, you know, I didn't enter into that. God spoke to me in September of 1980. I didn't start pastoring until June of 1988. But I didn't sit around and say, okay, you know, when are they going to call me and ask me to come pastor the church? You know, it didn't happen like that. You know, but what God had spoken to me in 1980 kept me going, kept my path, and kept me charting a course to where I ended up at the right place at the right time, stepping in to what God had shown me 8 years before. And so, you know, God will work the same way in your life. You may not enter in. Kevin, you might not become a youth pastor tomorrow, but a course has been set for your life. And because of what God's spoken to you, it will determine the choices that you make and the things that you do and the places that you go and what you do in preparation. Amen? And that's true with all of you. Whatever God has spoken to you, follow after that. Keep that burning in your heart. Keep that alive in your heart. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And so, again, I didn't enter into that immediately, but I moved into that eventually. So then he says in the New Living Translation, verse 12, where he says, let no one despise your youth. He says, don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. That's what the New Living Translation says. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, he's not telling Timothy here to demand respect when he says, don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. You know, we don't... Would you mind not texting right now? Thank you. So he's not telling Timothy to demand respect. And on the other hand, he's not telling him, Timothy, go out there and try to earn people's respect. You know, we shouldn't do that either. You know, you're gonna have the wrong motivation. You're gonna have the wrong motivation if you go out and try to, well, I'm gonna show them that I deserve this, or I'm going to show them that I belong here. I'm going to show them. No, like someone said, it's for God. Like Chelsea, like you said, doesn't matter what other people think. It's what God thinks about you. And so it'll be the wrong motivation. When Paul's writing to Timothy, he says, don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. He's not saying, Timothy, you need to demand respect. And he's not even saying, Timothy, you need to go out there and you need to show them and you need to earn respect. But he's saying, Timothy, live for God. He tells him what to do. He says, be an example. Amen. Here's what to do. Here's how to for people to not think less of you because you're young. And he begins to tell him how. But one thing I need to mention right here too, when he says, don't let anyone think less of you because you're young, that starts with you. That starts with you, young people. Amen. And somebody talked about that already. You know, don't think that God can't use you, or don't think that you can't really contribute much right now. So don't anyone think less of you because you're young starts with you not thinking less of you because you're young. Amen. Do you see that? Amen. So failing to esteem what God has done in your life can block the blessings of God and the power of God from working in your life. You know, that happened with Jesus. He didn't fail to esteem himself, but he's a great example here. Look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 1, he says, then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Now, where does it say that he went? Verse 1 says he went where? Hello? To his own country. All right. Everybody say to his own country. Are y'all still connected or are you already at lunch? Amen. Huh? Are you here? Three of you? All right, come on, stay with me just a few more minutes, all right? And so, well, this message is for the youth. No, it's for you if you'll open your heart and receive it. Amen. You'll get something out of it too. Praise God. Don't just think it's for the youth. Praise God. So he went to his own country where he grew up, okay? And so he began to teach in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they said, where did he get these things? And verse 3, it says, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. In other words, who does he think he is? This is just Jesus. We grew up with him. He grew up here with us. He's just this little kid that grew up, and he's a carpenter now, but he's coming up here saying all these things, and he's proclaiming this in the synagogue. You know what he was saying? I'll tell you what Jesus was saying. Luke chapter 4 tells us what he was saying, but back here it says they were offended at him, and it says that he couldn't do any mighty works there. It said a prophet is without honor only in his own household, only in his own hometown. And so they didn't esteem Jesus. They looked down on him. They didn't think he had anything to give to them, anything to offer. And it says that he couldn't do any mighty works there. Verse 5 says he could do no mighty work there. Didn't mean that he wouldn't. It said that he couldn't. They blocked the power of God because they didn't esteem Jesus. They didn't receive who he was. Oh, well, he's nobody special. We need to be careful about that. Amen. The Bible says we're to esteem one another. Amen. Amen. Because we each have gifts on the inside of us. We each have a supply to bring. We need one another. Amen. Amen. It's a sad thing that and a thing that causes us to miss a lot of the blessings of God when we refuse to esteem other people and the gifts that God's placed in them. Amen. Here's what Jesus was saying in the synagogue. Luke chapter 4 tells us. So Jesus believed in himself. That's the point I'm making. Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. That starts with you. Jesus knew that God had spoken to him. Jesus knew that God had raised him up. Luke 4:16 says, so he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, He found the place where it was written, and he said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Jesus wasn't just reading this, and they knew he wasn't just reading it. He was saying it about himself. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's anointed me to set at liberty those that are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." He declared that. Hallelujah. He said that. So he knew. He didn't despise himself. He wasn't prideful. You can acknowledge that God has his hand on your life without being prideful. You can acknowledge that God has anointed you. You can acknowledge that God has given you something on the inside without being prideful about it. And you should. Amen. Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." They knew they had something. Amen. Glory to God. Have you got something? Has God put something on the inside of you? Do you have something to give? You absolutely do. Amen. Glory to God. All right. So Jesus knew what he was called to do. He was convinced of it. He was confident in it. And God wants you to be the same. Amen. Hallelujah. So what are we to do now? Paul wrote to Timothy there in 1 Timothy 4. He said, "Be an example. Be an example for the believers." New King James, it says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." It gives them six areas that he was to be an example in. Amen. And then in the New Living, it says, "Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity." He says, be an example to all believers, not just to the other youth, but to all believers. So, now, it's something when we talk about an example, what is an example? An example is something that others can look at and see how to do something. Now, that's not the dictionary definition. That's my definition. But it works, amen. An example is something that others can look at and see how to do something. When you've got the example picture up there, oh, okay, that's how that's supposed to fit. That's how that's supposed to work. So in this case, Paul is telling Timothy, you live your life as an example for Jesus Christ so others can look at you and see, okay, that's how you live for Jesus. Amen. That's what we're supposed to do. Praise God. And it gives him, again, six areas. Number one, in word, in what you say. Our words are important. Words of faith, words of encouragement, using our words to bless and build people up and not tear people down. Not using our words to gossip, to ridicule, or condemn. Words of commitment. When you say something that you're going to do, that you fulfill your commitment. Amen. He's talking about being responsible for the words that we speak. So be an example in the words that you say. Be an example in speaking words of faith and speaking words of blessing. Be an example in using your words to bless and to lift up and not condemn. Amen? Amen. So that's the first thing. Now again, he's talking to Timothy, who was a young man. Now, we often as youth, we would often think, well, I need some example. Some of the older people need to set the example for me. And that is true. We should do that. So this message is for all of us. We're to all be an example. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. You know, if someone is 70, then they'll look at you at 65 and think you're young. Okay, so, you know, young is a relative term here. So we can all get something out of it. Amen. But no, he said, young people, you set the example. And that's what I'm talking about. That's what God spoke to my heart, that this church needs your input, needs your fire, needs what you can bring, amen, in order for us to go to the next level. Set an example in your words, amen. And then the second thing, he said, in your conduct, in the way that you live, in the way that you live. Let's make sure that the way we live matches up with the words that we say, amen. Let's make sure that the way we live matches up with the words that we say. You know, my kids, all of them that have gone to public high school, have come back and told me, unfortunately, they said, well, Dad, we've not gotten involved in some of the Christian groups because these kids claim to be Christians, but then we see how they live. And their Christian, their confession of Christ does not in any way match up with the way that they live. So it's kind of turned us off, so we've not gotten involved in some of those groups. That's unfortunate. Amen? Because the way we live ought to match up with what we say. He said, be an example in your, number one, in your words, but then secondly, in your conduct and the way that you live. Amen? Praise God. And then the third thing he said, in love. Be an example in love. Hallelujah. God is love. Amen. And thank God for that revelation that was brought out at camp that first night about the love of God. Well, the love of God's in your heart. Jesus gave us a new commandment. He said, love one another as I have loved you. Amen. Praise God. So be an example in loving people. And then number four, in spirit. Now, some translations leave this one out. But spirit here means attitude. It's the same word, Greek word that's used in Ephesians 4:23, where he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So he's talking about your attitude right there. All right. So as believers in Jesus, we should always have a positive attitude. Amen. Hallelujah. Are y'all out there today? I've got a few scattered amens here and there, but it seems like you're not with me this morning. Is it just me or is it y'all? Is it me? All right. That's not you, it's me, right? Okay. All right. Hallelujah. They're thinking. Okay, that's a good thing, I guess. I'm thinking, they're thinking that, well, this is a message for the youth and we'll just endure it, but we're not really listening. But you are listening?
Yes.
All right. That's better. Okay. So as believers, we should always have a positive attitude. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. I mean, you're saved. You're going to heaven. You've been delivered. You've been redeemed. God's for you. If God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. So we should always keep a positive and have a positive attitude. Amen. So he said, be an example in that. Be an example in your attitude. Amen. Can I get an amen from the young people? Amen. Be an example in your attitude. Hallelujah. All right. And then so really he's telling Timothy to take charge of his thought life. That's what he's saying. When he says, be an example in spirit. In order to have a good attitude, you've got to control your thoughts, don't you?
Yes.
Amen? So keep your thoughts fixed on who you are in Christ, on what Jesus has done for you, on His calling, on His purpose for your life. Be an example in spirit. Then number five, he says, in faith. Be an example in faith. Learn to walk by faith. Learn to believe God's Word. Learn to believe Him for healing, for provision, for direction, for wisdom in your life. I like how Pastor Aaron challenged you guys, you know, on Thursday night. You know, when projects are going on at the church, don't just say, oh, well, I hope my parents will give. I hope people get involved and do that. He says, or well, you know, we don't really have a good place to meet for the youth, and we got we've got these disadvantages. He said, forget about all that. Be positive. Believe God. You know, use what you have. And work with what you have. That's what it means to be an example in faith. Glory to God. We're gonna believe God for this to happen. We're not gonna count on somebody else to believe. We're gonna believe Him. Amen. We need your faith, young people. This church needs your faith. Hallelujah. Amen. And then the last one is purity. Purity. Speaking of faith, though, let's say this one more thing here. David, as a teenager, went out to face Goliath when he was still just a teenager. Why? Because he was full of faith. He set an example of faith for the whole nation. Everybody else was afraid of Goliath, weren't they? They were shaking in their boots. And David went out there as a teenager and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? We're in covenant with God. The Lord that delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, He will deliver this Philistine into my hands. Hallelujah. And Goliath came out to him and started cursing him. And David said, I'm going to cut off your head and I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds of the air. And he did it. He went out and did it. Amen. Why? He was full of faith, even as a teenager. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So number six, in purity. Other words I looked in the dictionary and the thesaurus for purity. Purity means, listen to this. So So Paul tells Timothy, tells young people, be an example in purity. Here's what purity means in the dictionary. It means clarity. It means brilliance. It means genuineness. It means wholesomeness. It means innocence. It means integrity, honesty, decency, sincerity, and guilelessness. That's what purity is. Purity is not just doing the right thing. It's doing the right thing for the right reason. Amen? It's having the right heart. Paul wrote this in 2 Timothy. Wrote a second letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:21. Out of the New Living Translation, he said this. He said, if you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. What are you guys talking about? Talking about God using you, right? About how, you know, God showed you that He wants to use you. Well, he said, if you keep yourself pure, you'll be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you'll be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Verse 22, he said. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Hallelujah. Be someone that calls on God with a pure heart. Amen? Hallelujah. Purity. I'm thinking about, there's one particular minister that I know and that I receive a lot from. Every time that I hear this minister speak, I cannot help but weep. And the words that they say resonate so powerfully with my heart. And the Lord showed me the reason of that is the purity in that person's life. You know, how many of you like nice, refreshing cold water? How many of you like to drink it out of a dirty glass? The vessel does matter, doesn't it? It's the water that quenches your thirst, but the vessel it comes out of can affect the effectiveness of the water. Right? That's purity. That's purity. That's why Paul was writing that to Timothy. Be a vessel of honor. Back in 1 Timothy 4, in their opening passage, he says in verse 13, in the Message Bible, stay at your post, reading Scripture, giving counsel, teaching. Timothy would receive further direction once Paul got there, but for the time being, he said, stay at your post reading the Scripture. Amen. So do what you know to do. Do what you know to do right now. Well, one thing that you know to do, stay in the Word. That's where you're going to find direction. That's where God's going to reveal Himself. Stay in the Word of God, reading Scripture. God doesn't reveal Himself apart from His Word or contrary to His Word. He's everything the Word says He is. He will do everything the Word says He'll do. Now, certainly He makes that real to us during times of worship or during times of prayer, but it's all founded on and framed up with His Word. Amen? So stay in the Word. Amen? Praise God. Then he says in verse 14, do not neglect the gift. New Living says, do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. Some of you guys received, all of you, I believe, received spiritual impartations this week as you were prayed for, either by Pastor Aaron Hankins or by Aaron Harris or by some of your friends or whoever. You know, God spoke to you and He said, don't neglect that gift. Don't neglect that gift. He said, Kevin talked about getting filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. Kevin, don't neglect that gift. Speak in tongues every day. If you got filled with the Spirit and spoke in tongues, don't neglect that. Speak in tongues every day. Amen. Stir that gift up. That's what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. He said, in the special gift of ministry you received when I laid hands on you and prayed, keep that ablaze. God doesn't want us to be shy with His gifts, but bold. Hallelujah. Bold. Everybody say bold. Bold. God doesn't want us to be shy, but bold and loving and sensible. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Verse 15 and 16 of 1 Timothy 4, out of the Message, he says, cultivate these things. So what God has done in you, cultivate it. Crops have to be cultivated. so that they'll grow to their full potential. You might see things growing out, you know, like blackberries. Are the blackberries ripe now? Are they maybe just past time? But, you know, blackberries usually just grow wild, you know. Briars and all of that, they are briars. I pulled up all the briars around our place and got rid of the blackberries, unfortunately. I wasn't sure which was which. Huh? Plants, trees, to reach their full potential, they have to be cultivated. Amen? Isn't that right? So cultivate. He says, cultivate these things. And then he says, immerse yourself in them. Immerse yourself in what? In the things of God. In the things that God has spoken to you. In what God has done. Keep yourself immersed in it. Keep yourself immersed in God. You know, we immerse ourselves in a lot of things. You know what immerse means? If you've got a bucket of water and you take a sponge and you put it, you know, into that bucket of water so it's down in the water, you've just immersed that sponge in the water, haven't you? And all the bubbles start coming up. And if you leave it in there long enough, you pull the sponge out and it's just dripping, isn't it? You can't touch the sponge without water coming out. That's the way we're to be in God. He said, immerse yourselves in these things. Immerse yourselves in the things of God. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. He says, give yourself, the King James says, give yourself entirely to them. Give yourself entirely to them. And then the New Living says, both you and those who hear you will, or maybe that's the message. Yeah, it's the message, I guess. He says, immerse yourselves in them. Then, let me keep reading the scripture. I'm trying to finish this up, trying to hurry. The people will all see you mature right before their eyes. Are we still got that verse up? Yeah, look at that. The people will all see you mature right before their eyes. I believe we're going to see that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, keep a firm grasp on both your character and your teaching. Keep a firm grasp. The King James says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. And that's the two things we have to do. Take heed to your life, to your character, your purity, and then take heed to, all right, what am I sharing the message faithfully? Am I sharing the gospel? Am I sharing the truth of God's word? Keep a firm grasp on both your character and your teaching. Don't be diverted. Just keep at it. Amen. Both you and those who hear you will experience salvation. Amen. Glory to God. I'm done. Don't let anybody think down on you because you're young. God is going to begin to use you. He's going to begin to use the youth of this church in an unprecedented way. I believe that with all my heart. Hallelujah. Now again, that doesn't mean if you're over 21 that you're washed up. Amen. We need you too. Hallelujah. If you're as old as me or older than me, we need us too. Amen. Let's all stand up. Father, we just thank you for what you've done in our midst today. We thank you for the words and the testimonies that we've received, Lord. We thank you for our young people. We thank you and we praise you, Father, for what you've done in their hearts. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. The Lord, this is not just some nice little, they went to camp, rah, rah, and now it's over with. We will not walk away, Father. We will not forget about. We will not neglect the things that you've done. But Lord, I thank you that we'll build on them day by day. I thank you that I pray for the youth that every day they'll build on what you've done. That every day they'll build. That camp was not just a highlight, just an experience, but a catalyst, a beginning, a boost. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father God, that as an entire congregation that we will benefit from this. That as an entire congregation we'll be blessed from this. That we'll be inspired by their example. We'll be inspired by their faith. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for that, Father, that it will challenge all of us to go higher in you. We praise you for that, Lord. We thank you for that today in the name of Jesus. Now, while we're still in an attitude of prayer with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, for just a moment here, I want to ask...